tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. Matthew 26, verse 6. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 reads this way. It says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste?'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Again, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, asking for your blessing tonight of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, asking that you would strengthen the faith that you've given to us, that we might be the witnesses that you've called us to be. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, "To What Purpose Is This Waste?" That's an important statement there. To what purpose is this waste? And let me define here the word waste. That's easily said, and we can think of, yeah, it's something that's not a good thing. You don't want to be wasteful. You've heard of that before. But the word waste is an act or instance of using or expending something of great value carelessly or extravagantly on something of little to no worth at all. Again, waste is an act or instance of using or expending something of great value carelessly or extravagantly on something of little to no worth. So when they ask, "To what purpose was this waste?" That's what that word means. In other words, here's what they were saying: that what she did to the Lord was to use something of great value on something of little worth. Wow. Wow. You see that? And so I don't know that they fully understood, but I want you to be mindful of this also. Hold your place here and let you know how this all started. And go over to the Gospel of John chapter 12 just for a moment. John chapter 12. And this is the same account here in verse 4. And so we'll know where this has come from, or where this is coming from. In fact, let's back up to verse 2. "They made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." So the Holy Spirit is really revealing about this. And here's what he said: "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" And then the Spirit tells us here, "This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein." So this was Judas, really. He was moved against the Lord. And here's something to ponder. I don't believe Judas ever called. You can check it out for me. That'll be a challenge to you. I don't think that Judas ever called Jesus Lord. He called him Master, but I don't believe he ever called him Lord. There's a big difference there. But as we go back to our text in the Gospel of Matthew, I want to look at just two thoughts tonight, give you some things to think about and to ponder and to ask the Lord to give us a greater insight on what God is wanting to do in your life and mine and giving us a right outlook on what life is all about here. But look at verse 8, "But when his disciples saw it," his disciples... See, what we do, whether we realize it or not, influences other people. Do you believe that? We can say things and we can influence people for or against the Lord. But anyway, when his disciples heard it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste?" And that's where the title of our message is. And tonight I want to look at the Lord's insight of the immediate future and then the Lord's lesson on great value. So let's look at the Lord's insight. Look at verse 1 here of chapter 26 in the book of Matthew. And it says this, "And it came to pass
When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Now, I want to just make mention to you, I don't know that the disciples fully really comprehended that. Obviously, they were dismayed when the Lord was taken, were they not? They couldn't believe what was taking place. Surely when he was crucified, they were heartbroken and they did not understand. But the Lord is telling them quite plainly what was going to be done, that he was going to be betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together, verse 3, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. Isn't that amazing? You ever stop to ponder that? Over in Israel, they have what's called the high priest's home there. It wasn't too far from walking across to the temple there. They even had this holding pit where they believed the Lord was held there captive. And these were the religious rulers of the truth of the day. Amen? And they were conspiring together. What happened to the Ten Commandments there, right? They were conspiring how they might with subtlety, with trickery, to falsely accuse the Lord. The Lord does say something about being a false witness, does he not? And to put the Lord to death. For what crime? For what crime? No crime. The Lord had committed no crime. They just simply didn't like the message that he was proclaiming, that salvation was to come through him, that he was the Lamb of God, the Messiah of Israel and the world. And so the Pharisees were assembling together, and the religious rulers, and they were consulting how they might take the Lord by subtlety, verse 4, and kill him. Now here we get really spiritual, verse 5. But they said, oh, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. We don't want to get the people riled up, because we don't want to do something against the religious rules here that would get them in an uproar. And so this is the Lord proclaiming these things before the disciples and these conspirators really moving against the Lord. But the Lord knew that all these things were going to take place. Now, here's what I just want to spend a few moments tonight on what I think is a very important lesson that the Lord is revealing on what great value is. So, verse 6, we come to our text. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had great indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? Notice this, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. You know, I am afraid, really, and you'll have to forgive me, that I think we've gotten things out of sorts. God is preeminent above all things. And sometimes if we're not careful, the church will lose its way in serving the community instead of serving the Lord. And that's what was happening here on a small scale. The Lord didn't say that you shouldn't try to help the poor, and that's not the message tonight. But the Lord is to have preeminence. And so let's see what's going on here. They said this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But notice this here, and here's the lesson on great value here. Verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Where was the focus? On this woman, in this work that she brought on the Lord, right? And then he says this, ready? Verse 11, for ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. There's not always this opportunity. And if you'll remember, the women, the ladies got together early to go anoint the body of the Lord, but he was already risen. There was no opportunity anymore to do that for the Lord. This woman here had taken that opportunity and seized the moment, and the Lord is on her behalf. And here it gets even better. Notice verse 12. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And here it is. Ready? Verse 13. Verily or truly I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. We're reading about it today. Amen? The Lord said, what this woman did is never going to be forgotten. It will be proclaimed throughout the whole world. Do you think that's happened? Absolutely, it's happened. It has gone forward, and the Lord is emphasizing what she did more than the noble idea for a false pretense that Judas was saying, oh, this could have been sold and given to the poor. Did he really care about the poor? Not at all. Not at all. Was the Lord saying that you shouldn't help the poor? Not at all. Not at all. But what he was saying is, me and the opportunities to serve me, you don't always have. But what she did will never be forgotten. The disciples and the world will say, what a great waste. What a great waste. I'm sorry. I have a perfect illustration here, and I'm going to share it with you, and it's a sad testimony. I had the privilege, and I won't mention names here, of dealing with some young people in my early days of my ministry. And my wife and I worked with the youth, and God had given to us some young people. And there was a particular family that they were sharp, intellectual people. I mean, they all of them really advanced and did well in education, and they just had a natural, God-given knack for scholastic intelligence. And so the oldest boy, God was moving in his heart. And you just have to know the spirit of this guy. I don't think he would ever do anything to dishonor his parents. But you know what? I am convinced that God had called him to preach. Because we would go out soul winning, and we would go, and after church, he would ask me, how do you know God is calling you to preach? How do you know? I said, it starts with a desire. You can't get away from it. I was giving him my testimony of how I knew God was calling me to preach. And man, if I wasn't seeing myself mirrored in this young fella when God was calling me to preach, and he just, I'm telling you, this went on for months. This went on for months. And I when I first thought that God was calling me to preach, I surrendered. And I graduated as an education major because I did not want to go under a pastoral, because I thought if I do that, the first thing they're going to do, and they would, they'll ask me to preach. And I had a big fear of standing before people. I just didn't feel comfortable with that at all. But after the first school year, I really believed God was calling me to surrender to the ministry, and I felt like I really needed to honor the Lord and make that decision. So I didn't know my wife at that time, but her dad was my personal evangelism and practical evangelism teacher. And so I think she was still at college. Again, I had not met her. It was over the summer. And all of the churches in Central Florida, all the youth would get together every so often, and they were going to the roller skating rink. So all these churches, all these young people, they blocked out the skating rink, and they were all skating. Well, I was there, but boy, I tell you what, this whole idea of God calling me to preach and surrendering to the ministry was on my mind. And I had what I considered the privilege to sit down with Brother Williams, who was my instructor, and I asked him if he had a moment, and he said, absolutely, all the time you need. So I thought, well, this is really great. And I sat down with him. I could just see it. We were in a little booth there, and we were chatting, and I asked Brother Williams, I said, how do you know to make that decision to surrender to the ministry? How do you know God's calling you to preach? And everything he told me, I shared with this young fella. You know, there's a desire. You can't get away from it. It keeps coming back. But here's what he said that really helped me out. But he said, but just like your salvation, there will always be, in doing anything for God, a step of faith. It's always going to, you're never going to get, in other words, you're going to have to go and trust the Lord and just move forward on that. And so he wasn't telling me what to do, but he just said, I want you to know this, there will always be that step of faith. And so I took it, and I've never regretted it. I went before our congregation, and if I didn't think the school was going to do it, my pastor surely did it. We had about 200 in Sunday school, about, so it was a good size church. So anyway, I went forward and made a profession that God had called me to the ministry, right? Man, that was so good. And I'm walking back to my seat after Brother Darby Fennison, who's pastoring now East Somerset in Kentucky, East Somerset Baptist Church. And anyway, I stood up there, and he let everybody know. I think even everybody came by. He had everybody come by and shake my hand, or what. It took all the time, you know, that he was, you know, what a wonderful blessing. And so everybody was back at their seats, and he said I could go back. They were getting ready to dismiss. I just surrendered to preach. He said, by the way, he said, pray for Brother George. He'll be preaching for us in 2 weeks Wednesday. Amen. And so I knew that was going to come. I just didn't know it was going to come that fast. But anyway, there's always that step of faith. And I am sorry to say, going back to sharing with this young fellow did have a sharp intellect. I want you to know, my pastor gave me his testimony. He was going to be a lawyer. And my pastor, Brother Darby, I mean, he was an intellect as well. I mean, he just had a sharp mind and just understood a lot about everything. And at a young age, I think he was 18 or 19 years old, maybe even younger, he surrendered to the ministry. The world would say, oh, he was going to be an attorney. What a great waste. That's what the world would say. But anyway, I'll never forget that this young fella, and I think it may have been before college, he was still maybe in high school, and I'm telling you, I really believe the Lord was calling him, and I never said anything, I never rebutted or anything, but the Father said something to the effect, no, that's not for you, that's not for you. Maybe to the effect of, there's better things for you. What greater calling? You can't place yourself in that position. God has to place you there. What better calling to be an ambassador for Christ? And by the way, we're all ambassadors, right? But the Father saw too little for his Son in the ministry. You can gain the world and lose your purpose in Christ, if that's what you're living for. Or you can gain the Lord, but the world considers it to be a great waste. And so tonight, as we consider this, really this lesson the Lord was giving on what really great value was, the world, and by the way, I will tell you this, it is sometimes difficult for people to understand that. The world will never understand it. I remember my father-in-law saying, you know, for me to be a king or a president, and my father-in-law was called to the ministry, he said, would be a step down from where God has called me. Would be a step down. And so listen, you and I have been called to serve the Lord in different capacities. The world, your friends that don't know the Lord, will never understand what you're doing for God. The world would say, to what purpose is this waste? I mean, don't you waste, the world thinks you waste your Sundays. They don't understand what God has given to us. The world thinks that you waste your time in the Word of God. They don't know our Jesus. They don't know our Savior. And yet God wants us to understand that this will never, whatever you do for God, will never be forgotten. I think not only in this life, that will may go unseen, but throughout all eternity, we will have no regrets on anything that we do for the Lord. So let's look at this once again. Look at verse 10 here. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily or truly I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Isn't that amazing? To what purpose is this waste that is coming from the lips of those who do not understand? I think, as I share, and I'm not trying to be unkind, I think it's a sad testimony that this father, he thought probably the best, but he saw it as a waste of his son's abilities and talents. And so he did follow his father's instruction. He was still a teenager. He was still in his father's house. I don't know how that all weighs out. I know that my God is, our God is merciful and forgiving, but he will never be able to recapture what maybe God wanted to do in his life for whatever reason, because of what the father thought or said. But here's the thing, in spite of what the world or those who do not completely trust the Lord might say, nothing given to the Lord will ever be regretted, will ever be considered a waste. In fact, Jesus said, what you think is a great waste, those things that are given to God will be of great value and never forgotten. So tonight, God wants you to know this. Anything you do for the Lord will never be forgotten. You know, the Bible even tells us even a cup of cold water given in the name of the Lord will be rewarded. Isn't that amazing? God takes note of every little thing because he's God. And he wants to bless us. And he wants us to enjoy him in a great and mighty way. So tonight, just a reminder, when the world says, to what purpose is this waste? Oh, it's no waste at all. It's of great value in the eyes of God. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. And Lord, we thank you so much for opening up our eyes to see the things that truly have great value. The world doesn't understand that, and nor should we expect them to. But Lord, you've opened up our eyes and our minds to see these truths in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would never forsake the truth, but that we would receive it, Lord, by faith and walk in it and enjoy what you've given to us. And may we never be ashamed. I'm so thankful for the testimony of this woman that went ahead and made the sacrifice and who was blessed and brought before all the disciples as an example. May we learn from her example to give you our all. Bless the invitation, and we'll thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.